Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. You're going to be glad you did because Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. He's our good friend. He's chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. He is also a professor of economics at Temple University, outstanding college, institution of higher learning over there in the great city of Philadelphia, and he is our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. And also, by the way, folks, at one time Bill was the head of the entire business school, right, at Temple?
Yeah, dean of the business school. I had 7,000 students, 1,000 sections of classes every semester. Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
The yikes part.
The yikes part is why he said, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I'm gonna cut back and go do more fun things like spend more time with small business owners, right?
Exactly. After 8 years of deaning, that was enough.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, as I mentioned in the previous part of the hour, for over 30 years, Bill has been polling small business owners around the U.S. and asking them about how things are going in the economy for them, and they've been giving him the answers, and they've been he compiles their that data and into a report, and he's in for the last several years. I'm going to say maybe at least 8 or 9 years, Bill. We'll have to go back and check. You've been delivering it to us once a month, and we appreciate that very much. And the news from small business this month is not great, but it's not horrible either, is it?
Well, let's put it this way. It got better rather than getting worse, and that's always good, you know.
So right.
We didn't get back to kind of our long-term level in the optimism index, which is about 100, and that's the base value for the index. So, but we did gain a point, and more importantly, inside of the index, the things that looked good were increases in plans for capital outlays and increases in plans to create new jobs, and, of course, the job openings number held at an amazingly high 25% with a job opening they can't fill. I mean, the last time
that's
we saw
incredible,
that was the dot-com period, you know. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So those, you know, so those internals look really good on the index. We're still, you know, we're 6 years into the expansion here, so it's no surprise that not too many people think it's going to get better because we're kind of fully employed anyway. So those parts of the index don't improve much late in an expansion. It would be typical of the 80s expansion and the 90s that the index would kind of taper off after you've been in it for a while.
Right. Bill, do a couple of things on this job situation. When I look at jobs, when I look at businesses needing to hire people and not being able to, I look at a couple of other places where that pressure might surface, and one of those is in technology. And as you know, one of the sectors that's really doing pretty well right now in terms of the stock market is the technology sector. And so as you know very well, when I can't hire the people that I need, that means that I've got to figure out how to automate that. And so I wonder what your thoughts are. I've got two. This is a two-part question. The first part is: do you believe that the inability to hire enough people to do the work in small business is helping the technology sector? What do you think?
Well, certainly that's the case. You know, if we can find any way to get more output from the people that we have by giving them better equipment to work with, better computers, better software, those kinds of things, we'll do it. So, you know, and you'll especially do it when you just can't find people to fill these jobs. And, you know, that's definitely going to be a boost for the technology sector, and it seems to be the case.
Well, and here's the second question. along those lines, and that is that instead of having people available to work for you as an employee, people, when they can't find those employees, what we're doing is we're finding contractors to do that work. And when you're hiring contractors, you're probably hiring another small business, and that allows for the growth of small businesses. And are we seeing that happening?
Well, certainly, we see even small businesses doing that, going to the temp agencies and so on, and that has picked up 3 or 4 points over the last 4, 5 or 6 months. So we have 17% of our people tell us that they have a contracted worker on their payroll.
Well, when I was a consultant, I had people trying to hire me all the time, and I said, I'm already working for you. And they said, we want you full-time. And I said, no, I don't want to work for you full-time. I want to be your, you know, I want to be your consultant. And so they didn't hire me, which they needed to do, but they helped my small business by doing business with me. Stand by, quick break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Aflac.
Back is 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can take fair use possession of our archives, any of the interviews that we've done over the last several years, including the ones we're doing today. You can actually podcast them if you want. You can stream them as well on MP3. You can podcast them and take them with you. Play them in your car, put them on a stick. Whatever you like, and as long as you keep them together, as long as you keep our property together, where you keep the copyright information, all that together, we ask you to do that. Otherwise, you can pass it around, use it, share it with your friends. We don't mind that at all. We want you to use it to your advantage. Everything we do, we try to make it where it's easy for you to get better in your small business. And there are articles. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. That's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers right now. And that's a free site as well. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. We're talking about the report, the most recent report that Bill has been compiling for us now for a number of years, and for other people for decades. He calls it the Small Business Economic Trends Report. Bill, one of the things that's interesting, we were talking about this just as we went to the break, that's been interesting to me about small business owners is the force that it is. You know, water, as you know, water can be a very powerful force. It seeks its own level, and if it builds up enough pressure, it's going to go somewhere, and whatever's in front of it's going to have to go. It's going to give, and I really kind of feel like small business is getting to that point where if you bottle us up in one area, we're going to pop out in another area, and you're seeing that, aren't you?
Well, certainly there's a little momentum building in terms of. Now, how we see the economy, excuse me, it looks like it's probably not going to get any worse, and it looks like we might be picking up a little momentum and rolling forward. And even though you hear all these howls about, you know, recession risk, and the market now says, you know, that we could be in trouble, Main Street doesn't agree with that.
Well, exactly. And of course, now I'm not saying that small business is not affected by the economy and by the economic conditions, et cetera. I'm just saying that there is a significant force in the marketplace that I think is undervalued and underestimated and underappreciated by a lot of people, especially Wall Street, and that's the power of small business.
No, I agree. We've spent a lot of time, of course, trying to get them to pay attention to small business, and I gave a talk the other day, and one of the gentlemen who was in the audience came up to me and said, well, I'm coming to your event tomorrow night. That would have been last night, because I had the guy who runs the open market desk at the Fed down, and we had 180 people there.
Wow.
At the Fed to see him. He said, I'm going to come to that, but you're the one who really tells me what's happening in the economy when you give me these reports on what small businesses are doing. That's what
right.
I really trust.
Right. Well, good for him and good for you. I know that was kind of a little payday there, but that's exactly right. And so the interesting thing to me, Bill, is we've had lots of bad news lately. Oil prices, in fact, oil prices hit a record high yesterday of 89 point something dollars a barrel, which is starting to get a little scary. But yet the economy keeps, I mean, the Main Street economy, as you say, keeps kind of hanging in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's amazing. We've, you know, if you go back to 1998, 99, oil was $10 a barrel. And so we have weathered an increase from 10 to 90, and the economy keeps on ticking, as they say. We keep on moving right along. And, of course, you know, the people who really carry that on their shoulders are the small businesses out there who produce at least half of the private sector GDP.
Right. Well, there's no question about it, and employ, sign the fronts of over half of the paychecks, somewhere around 70 million paychecks that are signed every week on the front by a small business owner. Bill, what are some of the other things that your small business respondents told you about the economy?
Well, I think the thing that worried us the most was that the small business owners did not respond well to the Fed rate cut. I think that was a real surprise.
By the way, since you were here, and as you predicted, although I think both of us predicted a quarter, it went down. They actually cut a whole half a point, didn't they?
They did indeed. They surprised everybody by cutting a half. And I guess, you know, you should think that everybody would be happy that that happened. And it is true that the five big banks are happy that it happened, because it helped increase the value of the ugly assets they had on their books. So it's kind of like lipstick on the pig. You know, they're still ugly, but since interest rates are in the denominator of valuation models, why those assets, you know, went up in value on their books and they felt a little better. But looking at our small business, we get interviews in all through the month, and so we can bifurcate the month on the before the 18th and after the 18th. And there are some pretty amazing things. We were actually really having a good month until the Fed announced, and then the before-after is not good. For example, job creation plans went down 4 points. The number of owners with a job reporting job openings they're going to try to fill went down 11 points. Plans for capital outlays dropped a couple of points. Good time to expand went down 2 points. I mean, we really didn't do well after the Fed announced that. And if that sets the tone for October, we're not going to have a very good October when we get the data in.
Right. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. More to come. One of the things we're going to ask Bill to talk about is, what does he think the Fed's going to do next time, which is coming up very soon. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. Now, this report that Bill provides us every month, on the show, we also post that on our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's also available at nfib.com. And, Bill, you got another site, too, where you post this, don't you?
Right, smallbiz.org. That's B-U-S, not B-A-Z, smallbiz.org.
Smallbus.org, and you can find it there as well. We put Bill's reports on our homepage, actually, right there, and we call it the front page section of our homepage, so check that out. And it's very interesting information, folks, and you really ought to check it out to see if the responses that Bill gets from small business owners across the country compares to what you're experiencing out there in the marketplace. And the reason I recommend this, folks, is because, you know, Bill, a lot of times people, small business owners, sort of get in their cave, and they things happen, and they sort of huddle down and hunker down in their cave, and they wonder, you know, they start thinking that they're the only people who are experiencing this or that. and it's not good. It's a toxic kind of a situation we get ourselves into. And so, folks, it's important to get out and read what other people are having to say. Read what your peers are up to. And I don't know of any better report than Bill's. And by the way, folks, it's in plain English. That's one of the things. Bill, I was a little surprised to see the number went down. Well, I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but the number went down on expected easing of credit conditions. I haven't seen that yet, though. Have you?
Well, no, not really. You know, and of course we measure the credit situation on street level with a number of questions, and really there was no sign that any tightening of credit standards is happening. There was, you know, like a 1-point increase in the percent who said, last time I went to get a loan, it was harder. But really, you know, that's not even statistically significant in a sample. So really, for 15 years, capital markets have been very friendly, and we really haven't seen any change in that, in spite of all the news you've heard about how credit markets are seizing up and credit
won't flow. Is this an example,
and,
Bill, is this an example of where the media has talked people into believing that?
Well, certainly, the media is all over it. The problem is that if you watch CNBC or some of these financial shows, you know, who you hear from are the people associated with these big banks who are taking all the risks and putting on these structured finance products, and they were greedy and they were looking for a little extra margin, and of course they got caught. And they're the ones who are really asking for help. You know, our small businesses aren't asking for any help. They just want to be left alone as usual. Let them get their job done.
And they don't go whining to the Fed every time they have hit a bump either, like some of these big industries did, and which was very unseemly and disappointing to me, in my opinion. Bill, the Fed meets again. Let's see, week after next.
Halloween, trick or treat.
Yeah, and so.
Right.
Some talk about the fact that they might cut again. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, they may well do it. I look at our numbers and I say there's no need to cut. In the meantime, the inflation numbers aren't as good as we'd like to see. They came out yesterday, and headline inflation was about 3.5% at an annual rate for the month, and the core inflation rate for the last few months has been 2.5%. That's a long ways away from that 1-2 range that we think the Fed is shooting for. So, on the one hand, you got the inflation not looking like it should, not out of control, but you know, more bad news is coming with these high oil prices. So, I think they shouldn't do anything, but I thought that the last time, but
right.
They cut 50 points. The market says, and of course, the market's always betting on this. It's a futures market. It says a 50-50 chance of a quarter point. So. And it's been drifting that way. So the expectation of a cut amongst those who are bond traders and so on is rising.
Right.
I don't know whether that's hope, you know, hope or a good forecast. But
Bill, how much can this economy take in terms of oil prices?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, people said 50 was too much, and then 60 was too much, and 70, and here we are.
We're almost at 90. We'll be at 90 before the end of the year for sure.
I think we will, just because of all the nonsense going on in northern Iraq with the Kurds and the Turks. Iraqi has been increasing its oil output, and that's good because people, you know, demand is strong. But you know, we could see a major interruption of oil supplies, up in that area. And that, of course, is what the market is now pricing in. You got a good $20 a barrel sitting there just in risk premium in the oil price.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's the problem we got. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you much, Jim. It's great to be with you.
And we'll see you next time. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.